Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dynamic Cables Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranay Shah from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital, I welcome all of you to the fourth quarter and FY26 earnings conference call of Dynamic Cables Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Ashish Mangal, Managing Director, Mr. Murarilal Poddar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Govind Saboo, IR Advisor. I request the team to give their opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I, Ashish Mangal, Managing Director of Dynamic Cables, extend a warm welcome to all of you on the call. I am pleased to report a steady operational and financial performance for the quarter and the full financial year, despite a volatile macroeconomic environment and continued uncertainty in the global markets. The company delivered a healthy performance during this year, reflecting disciplined execution, operational resilience, and prudent financial management. Also, there was a marked reduction in financial costs resulting from continued financial discipline and lower interest charges, driven by credit rating enhancement. During the financial year, we remained focused on our core value-added products, which contributed to improved profitability and stronger operating performance. Our order book continued to witness healthy traction during the quarter, supported by strong customer relationships and sustained demand across key power-related segments. This reinforces our confidence in the long-term opportunities emerging in the Indian power T&D ecosystem. During the year, the company further strengthened its industry positioning through enhanced product capabilities, new customer approvals, and continued focus on quality and execution standards. These efforts will enable us to participate in higher-value opportunities across key business segments. On the capacity expansion front, project implementation has picked up pace following receipt of key statutory approvals. While the project implementation witnessed delays due to approval-related timelines and disruption in imported machinery deliveries arising from the ongoing Iran war-related logistics situations, the new capacities will be available ahead of the seasonally stronger second half of FY27. We remain focused on disciplined execution, profitability, and prudent capital allocation. With a healthy order book, stronger customer relationships, and a robust execution framework, we are confident in our ability to capitalize on the long-term opportunities in the sector, sustain steady growth, and create long-term value for all stakeholders. With that, I now invite our CFO, Mr. Poddar, to share the financial highlights for the quarter.
Good afternoon to all. We are pleased to report a healthy financial performance, achieving our highest-ever revenue and profitability during FY26. Revenue grew by 17% YoY, while operating profit increased by 23% to rupees 130 crore, supported by improved operating leverage and a better product mix. Operating margin improved to 10.8%, reflecting enhanced operational efficiency. Profit after tax rose by 30% to 84 crore, driven by disciplined execution, strong business momentum, and prudent financial management. Customer-wise contribution in FY26 was around government sales 13%, private sales 30%, export 7%. Product-wise contribution in FY26 was HV cable 64%, LV cable 30%, conductor 6%. As of 31st March 2026, our order book stands at INR 808 crore, providing strong revenue visibility. Thank you, and we are now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Piyush Selvadasani from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the
growth for fourth quarter, which looks on the softer side. Can you help me understand how much has been the volume growth in this quarter and how much has been the realization growth?
Yes. So, Piyush, basically, just to give a context of growth, which you were asking. So in Q4, our core product growth has been 20%, whereas the growth which we overall growth of 7% during the quarter. Largely the difference between 7% and 20% is basically our low value add, low voltage conductors and railway signaling cables, which we have discontinued this year. So if you adjust these two items and our core products, which are our power cables, renewable cables, LV/HV cables, which and our niche conductors, which we manufacture, the niche products. So if you adjust that, it is around 20%. And with regard to the price growth, I mean, the composition of volume versus price increase, 8% growth is attributable to the material price inflation, and balance is basically volume growth. So this is what is the composition of our growth. And so, sorry, so 8% is for the full year. For quarter four, it is 12%.
So for the quarter, 12% is the realization growth and 8% volume growth?
Yes.
And you are saying that we have discontinued this conductor and railway cables.
Railway cables.
Going forward.
Railway cables we have discontinued for now, because as we have been always discussing this over last three, four, five quarters, that railway signaling, we feel that competitive intensity is very high, and it is better to move on to our power cable products, where demand scenario is much better and margin profile is much better. So it is better to kind of dedicate our operating facility and production capacity to higher margin products where profitability is high, rather than the low value add, the low profitable products, which are the low voltage conductors and railway signaling cables.
So how much was contribution for this railway cables for full year FY 2026? And like, how do we plan to compensate for that going forward?
Yes. So FY 2026, the railway signaling cable was zero.
Okay.
And in FY 2025, it was 4% contribution.
You are saying this for fourth quarter, right? Fourth quarter, it was zero.
For full year. Full year, it was zero.
Okay. Sure. Actually, just on this CapEx, which has been delayed. So now we are expecting that to come in the second half. So how should we think about growth in FY 2027? Would it be largely flattish in first half and growth to resume in second half? Or.
So, yes. So basically, first of all, let me give you, I mean, there has been a delay in the CapEx, so there is no two doubts about it. And the new plant is going to start its production in September 26, it will start the production. So when the heavy half, which is seasonally heavy half, is the second half. So we will be having our capacity, which in the second half of the financial year. And I think H1 growth will be managing from our existing facility. So this is the growth color, I mean, this is the growth outlook which we can give as of today.
But any guidance for FY 2027?
No, I mean, we have never been giving yearly guidances. We have always been giving a long-term guidance of 18%-20% growth, which we have also delivered in the past. And we still believe that for a medium to long term, the company will deliver the same kind of growth in future also.
No, sir. I'm asking because our order book also has only grown by 18%. And given the pricing increase, I'm assuming volume growth is not there. Any reasons for weakness?
So that's what. In FY25, our core product growth has been 25%. And if we adjust 7-8% of inflation growth, we get around 17-18% of volume growth of our core products.
So I was asking about order book. Order book also has grown only by 11%. So that looks slightly on UK.
So basically, because of this price volatility, typically in the industry, there is some deferment of order booking or kind of sales booking or order booking when there is such a sudden increase in our raw material prices. So we all know what has happened in the month of March. And so there has been a deferment of order booking from March in the month of March because of the sudden spike in the prices of aluminium and PVC, which are our key raw materials.
Okay. Sure. So just last question. In this quarter, we have also seen gross margins going down. Any specific reason for that? It's 17.9%.
So gross margin, I mean, you have to look at operating profit is the right measure actually, because gross profit mein there are a lot of elements which come and go by, and it all depends on the product mix, customer mix, which market we are selling to. So there is lot of there may be slight variation here and there in the gross profits, but at the operating profit level, I think we have been steady, and we have always guided an operating profit of anywhere between 10.5% to 11% all throughout the year, and that is what we have delivered also.
Yeah, that's clear. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Yes. Thank you, Piyush.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash from Auriga Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So over the last 4 years, I can see the capex intensity has gone up. What you spent in nearly 3 years, you spent in FY26. So will this trajectory of higher capex continue for FY27 and the medium term?
So FY26, as you know that we had initiated setting up of a greenfield plant. And whenever there is a greenfield plant which is being set up, the initial capex is always high. Brownfield expansions typically are kind of less heavy on the capex side, and that is what is the reason for increase in the capex in FY26. Going forward in FY27, or probably in the medium term, you can say there would be capital expenditure each and every year, because growth will demand capex. It may not be as intense as it was in FY26, but yes, relatively, probably because the base is also increasing. So to keep up the growth numbers, we'll have to continue our capex.
Okay, so because if you see the peers, every year they are reporting bigger and bigger capex, and even that they're talking about bigger capex. So I presume it should be the same case for you as well, because you're still at around 85-90% of utilization.
Yes, that's what I was saying, that because at the industry level only, the base is increasing, and to keep up with the growth trajectory, we'll have to maintain our capex program, or we have to continue with our capex program year on year.
And on the plant, sir, there has been significant delay in Q4 FY25. You mentioned that you are on track to commission it in Q2 FY26. And you also mentioned that you can set up new capacities within 9 to 18 months. But here, there has been delay of around 15 months since what you targeted. So can you speak more about it? Can you speak more about it, what the reasons for the delay has been?
Right. So basically, there are three major reasons for the delay. One is that
there were some government basically regulatory body approvals which were delayed, and that basically delayed the starting of the project implementation itself. And secondly, there were some import machineries which were got delayed because of this freight related issues of late after this Iran war. And thirdly, there were some compliance requirements which from the ERB board, which we need to kind of comply with. And so these all reasons compounded for the delay of this plant. But I'm happy to report, I think that the plant is now in the final implementation stages. And we have got most of the machines and civil work getting done. And probably in next 3-4 months, we would be in a position to kind of start our trial production.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Yes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is around the...
Nitin, sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak through the handset, please?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is on the revenue growth. As we can see, it is like the slowest in many quarters. And as you have clarified, the railway cables have been discontinued for more than a year now. Besides, we had an starting order book of around 790 crores at the beginning of Q4. So what exactly is the reason of this slow execution, sir?
Yeah, I didn't understand the question. So you are saying that?
No, I'm saying that the revenue growth has been slowest in last many quarters.
Right.
And you pointed out that railway cables has been discontinued for a year now.
Right.
Yeah. So what is the reason of the slow execution this quarter?
So basically there are 2-3 reasons, Nitin, I would like to just kind of highlight that. If you look at quarterly basis, it is difficult to kind of do, because last quarter, we started this quarter with a very heavy base, with a very high base. So I think last year Q4, our growth was around 38-39% kind of. So it was a very heavy base we started off with. Second reason was, as I told you, that there was lot of disruptions and deferment of supplies due to immediate rise in raw material prices, and that is what led to deferment of sales and order booking, which I have already clarified in our earlier discussion also with the earlier participant. And third impact was, if you adjust the low voltage conductors and railway signaling cables, our Q4 growth would be 20%. So that is what, that these are the kind of explanations for your question.
Right. So just a follow up on that, sir. The volatility in the supplies that you mentioned, has it improved now or has it worsened? Because the situation is still the same, like what it was in February and March.
So yes, so basically the prices have not come down, as we all know. Aluminium prices are elevated, PVC prices are elevated, but what happens is that acceptance of the market gradually starts kicking in. So that is what happens whenever there is such a disruption, because so that is kind of the reality which we have to face. So whenever there is a start of such disruption of such magnitude, at the start of the disruption, there is definitely a fear and scare or deferment, which leads to deferment of consumption. But gradually, the acceptance also starts kicking in. So these are the two factors which are being observed in the market at present.
My next question is on the net debt. As you have clarified in the press release, it has jumped up significantly quarter on quarter. So, what is
the voice is very low. It is very, very difficult
Hello?
to. Yeah.
Hello?
Nitin, can you please
Can you hear me
use the
now?
handset?
Yeah, just a minute.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, it is much better.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, much clear, much clear.
Right. So, sir, our capacity expansion has not gone live yet, but our net debt has increased significantly quarter on quarter. So what is the reason for that? And as a result of this, should we see a jump in finance costs again going forward?
Sir, the entire borrowing which you look at is our working capital borrowings. So it all depends on the seasonality. March is a heavy quarter for all the cable manufacturers. And so there has been a slight increase of debt in our books. And also, if you look at our on-books debt, it has kind of reduced from 66 crores to 40 crores. So nothing to kind of, it's a very routine kind of thing which happens.
Right. But should we see a jump in finance costs now going forward?
I don't think so, sir.
Okay. And sir, management has clarified in the past that you have 100% pass-through of costs as far as raw material costs are concerned. But still, this quarter, there is a significant margin drop at the gross margin level. So what would you ascertain this to?
Again, sir, I'm again rediscussing this part that you have to look at the operating profit level because there are a lot of components go by at the gross level. So there can be 1 or 2% variation on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So that's not the right way to look at it because our revenue mix keeps on changing each quarter. So that is not the right parameter to look at. So there is freight and other components which kind of come and go based on the customer, based on the market, based on the product, and all the other things. So this is, I think, it. And with regard to pass-through, we still believe that we again restate our original conversation that most of our orders are having price variation clause, and it is a pass-through to our customers. There are certain orders which are at the firm price basis also, but those firm price basis, we kind of hedge that raw material at the time of order booking itself. So largely, the price volatility doesn't have a much bearing on our business model. Our raw material price volatility does not have much bearing on our business model.
Sure. And my last question is on the capacity expansion, sir. So we know that order booking and capacity expansion are interlinked. So the fact that our capacity expansion is being postponed, is it one of the reasons why our order book growth has also slowed down quarter on quarter?
I don't think this is the right way to look at order booking. Order booking is largely, I mean, again, I have to repeat the same thing again and again. Since March month, per se, there was a large volatility in our materials, and therefore our pricing also suddenly increased. And that is why a lot of our customers kind of take a step back and defer their purchases. It's a normal phenomenon, and that does happen whenever there is such kind of volatility in the market. We are into the B2B market, and where there is always an option with the customer to kind of time its purchases according to the scenario demand requirement.
Okay, just a follow-up to that, sir. So there is no definite date of go-live for the capacity expansion this time. So, but you
have.
There
is no definitive date. One second. There is no definitive date, but yes, we are kind of guiding that based on the developments at the site level, at the plant level, we should be able to go live by September.
Right. But what you have ascribed this thing, the reason for importing the machinery, the Iran war, the situation is still same, sir, like in West Asia. So why do you think we will be able to go live this time, like by before the second half?
It's because, I mean, that's what I was saying, that based on the site developments, the way the work is going on, the implementation is going on, this time we are guiding, or we believe that we should be able to go live by September.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Purohit from Freedom Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So what was the volume growth separately in cables and conductors? Separately?
In cables and conductors? So conductors,
yeah.
As I told you, that there was a degrowth, which we have discussed in the past also. On cables standalone basis, I think on a yearly basis, it was around 18%.
And quarter four?
Quarter four, it should be around high single digit kind of.
In cables?
In cables, yes.
Okay. And what percentage, you mentioned that low voltage conductors have been discontinued. Railways were already discontinued. So what percentage of sales is low voltage conductors in the total revenue for the entire year, FY26?
I think it is now sub 5% kind of.
5%?
Yeah. Last year it was, I think, 8-9%, which has now come down to sub 5%. So there was around 50% kind of volume decrease in our low-cost conductors.
Okay. And just understanding on the capacity utilization side, so we were at 75%, 75 to 80% in quarter three. We were quite comfortable with that position in March also. Now, of course, there have been order delays like you've mentioned earlier. But for H1, FY27, do we see any problems in terms of capacity? Because we're already at one of the peaks. I mean, how will we be able to get growth in H1, FY27?
Yeah, we have managed the seasonally, the high season Q4 and Q3 last year. And so I think we are quite confident to manage the Q1 and Q2 also. Basis our order book. And I think when the peak season kind of kicks in Q3 and Q4, we would be ready with our capacity, with our new capacities as well.
So H2 is okay because September 2026, the capacity ideally should come on. But for H1, then we are already at booking.
So what I am saying is that our current capacities are sufficient for kind of our H1 order book and H1 business projections or growth, which we are kind of anticipating.
Okay. And this last question on the other expenses, how did we control these to such an extent, just 4.1% of sales? And also on the employee expenses, we had indicated that the last quarter generally has higher incentives, higher bonuses given out. But here also there's a decline year on year. If you could explain these, plus how do we understand these going forward?
Perfect. No problem. So first I'll take the employee expenses. So employee expenses, as I told you, that last year there were some one-time bonus and incentives which were declared in the month of March itself. So that booking was there in the base, which was rationalized during this year, and it was kind of amortized during the year. So that is why it's not a decline as such. It is just a proper way of accounting the expenditure. So that is what has led to employee expenditure. Optically, this looks as a decline, but there is no decrease in our workforce as well as our employee salary or employee compensation as such. It is just that the accounting of expenditure. If you look at the last year quarterly breakup of employee expenses, there was a sudden spurt in Q4, which has now been normalized in the current year. So that is the reason for employee benefit. And other expenses, we have been discussing that there is always a trade-off between gross profit margin and other expenses based on the product mix, market mix, geographic mix, and all those things, which kind of happening because there are a lot of direct expenses like freight and other components, which sometimes in some business contracts are borne by us and in some contract it's borne by the customer. So it keeps on varying on that part. So it is better to look at our company's operating performance at a operating profit or EBITDA level rather than gross profit and other expense level.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranav Jain from Ageless Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. Sir, with respect to the TS Conductor Corp announcement that we put out, can you talk more about that? What the commercials look like? What kind of incremental revenues can we possibly get from that? Approvals, how much time will they take for the HTLS wires? Just a little more on that.
Yes. I mean, we have given quite a detailed press release on this TS Conductors development with our company. So it is basically stepping stone or basically a starting step to venture into this high voltage conductor market for our company. Because the carbon core technology which has recently got adopted by the utilities and is now, we believe that in future can become quite relevant in the entire transmission ecosystem of our country. And to initiate our entry into this high voltage conductor market, which again, there are very, very few players who have such kind of tie-ups, core tie-ups, because the core technology is limited to few players only in across the globe. So there are very few players, manufacturers in India who have such kind of tie-up. And with this tie-up now in place, we can actually go to our customers, take our product approvals or take the approvals, do type testing of our products and convert them into some orders and serious business sales revenue. So it is a starting step into that direction. There is no hard timeline that what would when this would materialize into revenue and sales. But yes, intent is very clear, and we believe that it is a very niche, a futuristic product, and which would be adopted by the utilities as a solution to this vertical expansion in the power infrastructure.
So just to understand, how did we end up, getting this agreement or getting into this agreement with TS Conductor Corp? How did it come to be?
So we have been in the search for such kind of tires, our team was in touch with these technology providers, and finally we got a breakthrough with TS Conductor.
Initially, the agreement is for a year. So, can we expect anything to happen within a year's time, or
It has a renewable clause, so that's not a very big challenge, because initially, it's just that whether the product, we are able to manufacture the product, that we get a positive type test of the product which is manufactured. So all that process will take around a year's time.
Got it. All right, so that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anuj Haria from Interglobe Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is continuing the previous participant's question. So for the TS Conductor partnership, do we need to incur any additional capex, let's say once the products get approved 6 months or 1 year down the line? Do we need to incur any additional capex to manufacture the products?
Not much, because our existing facility can be used to much of the extent. for the manufacturing of the actual conductors. If some slight technological advancement or updations need to be done, it is not a very big, it will not be a very big capex incrementally.
Okay. And you mentioned before that we have approximately 17 to 20,000 square meters of land available. So could you just give a brief idea on the next capex that we plan to do? Will it be more than the 40 crores that we are incurring right now, or it will be on the same scale or lower scale?
So we are now basically concentrating on completing our existing capex, because we are already delayed on that part. The next set of capex is not crystallized yet, so it will not be, in all fairness, it's not right to kind of give any guidance. But yes, as I have guided to, or we have discussed with earlier participants also, that there would be incremental capex which would be coming up to keep pace of our growth momentum. So that is, the intent is there. Directionally, there would be additional capex, but how much, when, where, these things currently are not decided, and I think it will be difficult for us to discuss.
Okay. Just another, if you could just give me the breakup, basically in quarter four of FY26 and throughout the year FY26, could you just give me the percentage of sales from solar cables?
I have a full year number as of now. Full year number is around 18%.
Okay. And what was it last year, if you could just tell me?
Last year it was 105 crores. So basically, in percentage terms, it was 10%.
Okay. And this year, based on FY27 numbers, do you expect the share to increase or remain the same?
I think it should increase marginally. So from 18%, it can go up to anywhere between 20 to 23%. Kind of should be the incremental share which should come.
Got it. And my final question is around, basically, as you mentioned that there was some deferment of order booking in the month of March, which is quite obvious. But let's say in the first 40 to 45 days of this financial in April and May, are you seeing a change in mindset of people where customers are going ahead with order booking, or what's the trajectory you're seeing right now?
Yes, there is an acceptance, which we discussed with earlier participant also. There is an acceptance of the higher raw material prices. And I also feel that there is some... given the criticality of the power infrastructure, it cannot be deferred beyond a point. So, because the power consumption is increasing, particularly in the summer, where grid has become heavy, the distribution infrastructure is under stress. So, it cannot be deferred for a very long time. That is the sense which we have from the market.
Okay, thank you. That will be all from us.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Yash from Aurika Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question again. I wanted to ask that when would this new capacity be ramped up at full utilization levels?
We would like to ramp up as early as possible. Again, it's very, very difficult to kind of give a very hard timeline because presently it has not come live. So to kind of envisage is very, very difficult. But yes, I think we would like to, once it is live, we would like to ramp it up as soon as possible. So the market opportunity, opportunity-wise, I don't think there is a problem because the e-beam technology, which is being which the new facility will have, and the renewable cable or solar cables, the market is huge, DC cables and all those things. So basically, on all the sides, there is no dearth of opportunity, and we would like to ramp it up as soon as possible.
Okay, last one. I do see that you've got a corporate guarantee from IndoCrates, and also in your PPT you've mentioned that Mr. Mangal is solely focused on managing dynamic cables. So just to confirm, Mr. Mangal is not looking after any other business and dynamic cable is only his focus area?
Yes. So basically Indocrat is just a property holding company. It does not have any operations as such, any business operations.
That's already withdrawn.
And also that guarantee is also now withdrawn. So basically no...
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kushal Shah from Nexus Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, I have questions on the future guidance. So basically, as you just mentioned that you, we should be able to commence the operation from new plant in the second half of this year. So, to look at the numbers, so in H1 of this FY27, so would we able to see growth vis-a-vis comparing the same number to H1 of FY26? So H1 FY27 versus H1 FY26, and then follow up question on the full year guidance for FY27.
So we don't have a practice of giving any guidance, short term guidances. In a medium to long term, we have been growing at 18 to 20% growth rate, which in the past also, and which should continue in the future also. So we don't have any practice of giving any short term guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next follow up question is from the line of Nikhil Purohit from Freedom Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again.
Not clear.
Is it clear now?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. So, sir, if just on the gross margin side, I'm aware you said you look at the EBITDA, but if our core products have grown 20%, then gross margin should improve year on year, right? Considering these are higher margin products versus something like lower value conductors, which we have actually discontinued, even railway cables. So, why the gross margin?
That's what I am saying, sir, again and again. You should not look at quarter on quarter. It's very, very difficult to kind of provide any kind of explanation on a quarter on quarter basis. If you look at on our yearly numbers, you will see the improvement at the gross profit level also and a corresponding improvement at the operating profit level also, because again, it's very, very difficult to explain half a percent or 1% variation at the gross profit level and operating profit or the other expenses level, because both are interchangeable. There are a lot of direct expenses which go into other expenses, and when we do our pricing or when we do our costing, in that some part of our direct expenses and our raw material expenses both are included.
Okay. Just last question. We will continue to expect 1.5 times industry growth in FY27?
Should be. We should be able to do it.
So our long term 18 to 20% remains intact?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Khadija Mantri from KP Global. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to know that in FY26, did we have any substantial exports, and going forward also, will we be focusing on exports, or given the that we have capacity constraint in the first half, we would ideally be focusing on domestic market only?
Yeah, there was a slight degrowth in FY26 exports as compared to FY25. Again, the reason was, in this March quarter, in the March month, the exports were typically zero, non-existent, and that was the reason why there was a degrowth in our export value as well. Our focus on export is always there and will be there. We have always maintained that we intend to grow our share of export within our overall revenue contribution. However, because of, unfortunately, in FY26, earlier there was some tariff problem which kind of delayed our US plans, US entry plans, which we are now re-establishing again, and that should have a critical, that should give a critical boost to our export program. And also the domestic market scenario is very, very conducive as of now. So it's always, I mean, we want to catch the low-hanging fruits first rather than to go on the export front. So yes, but we believe that our export share on a long-term basis should hit 10% and should increase to 15% kind of level in the long, medium to long term.
Okay, sir. And also this capex of 40 crore, what is the peak revenue potential? It would be 5 times asset turn, we can assume?
Yeah, I mean, we typically do 6 to 7 times our asset turns. So yes, 5 times is a very reasonable assumption to have.
Okay. And sir, also for this HTLS conductor, do we have capacity to cater to this segment in FY27 in case there is any opportunity?
So the problem is not of capacity, Khadija ji. It is more related to the type testing and approvals, which will have its own process time, and we will have to navigate as we go into, we step into FY27.
Okay, so assuming that we get the product gets type tested in FY27, maybe in the first half, then will we be able to deliver it from our current capacity in the second half?
Yeah. So if approvals are there and if we are competitive in the bids,
so it's fungible. The capacity is fungible. That is what I want to know.
Capacity is fungible. Yes. Yes. The process is almost the same. The core changes. That's all.
Okay.
The core technology changes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, sir. And this 18% to 20% growth that we are guiding, it's a value growth or it is largely in terms of volume growth?
I mean, we typically give a value growth guidance only. So that is what it is. And it's not a single year guidance, so it is a multi-year guidance.
Okay, sir, I understand. Thanks and all the best.
Yes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Equity Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Solar cable, what kind of margins do we have there? Are they above company average or in line with the company average? How is it?
In line with the company average.
And regarding the PGCIL approval, how is it helping us increasing the addressable market? Like, will it help us to win bigger orders or how exactly is it beneficial to the company?
So as I was telling you that these are all stepping stones starting steps for us to enter this high voltage conductor market, whether it is the PGCIL approval or whether you look at this technology tie-up. All these things are starting steps for us to explore this high voltage conductor market, because we believe that in the future, it is going to be the vertical expansion of the power T&D is going to be a huge opportunity for product manufacturers like us. And if you are able to supply the right kind of product in the market at the right time, it would be value accretive for us as a company. So this is the idea and I would say the thought process behind all these things, behind all the development.
Right. And last question is on the U.S. opportunity. Now that the tariff situation is more or less behind us, it has dropped from 50% to about 20% now. How are we exploring this opportunity? Is it through the TS conductor tie-up or is there anything else that we're looking at?
TS Conductor is not for US market. It is more to do with the domestic market. US market has to, we are re-establishing our links with the distributors because it is completely distributor-led market in the US. And we are, and because of this tariff related disruption, there was a gap of around 6 to 8 months in between where all the interest of the US distributors to procure from India had dried up. So now when the tariffs have gone away and now there is some policy stability in the US from the US government, we are trying to re-establish our US connects and with the distributors and trying to basically we have to start afresh in terms of our go-to-market strategy. Or we have started afresh, I should say.
Okay, you have started afresh already.
Yes.
So should we see any contribution in FY27 from this or too early to comment?
I mean, there should be some contribution. How much it would be, it's too early for us to comment on.
Correct. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from Morega Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. So you recently mentioned about getting into wire as well for B2B business only. I understand that there are many players in wire business already. So how will you be standing out?
Yes. So basically, again, there are two differences. In the wire business, there are two kinds of market. One is the B2C distribution-led market and one is the B2B market, which is a principal-to-principal market. I would like to clarify that we do not wish to focus on the B2C distribution-led wire market. We will confine ourselves to the B2B wire market and leverage our existing DNA. Because in cables, we are already a B2B supplier to many of the B2B players. And would like to leverage those relationships, those markets, those institutional supply capabilities. So it's just an additional add-on product which we have produced in our bouquet of cables.
Margins and ROC profile would be similar to what your existing
Too early. But yes, it should. I mean, given our intent to be financed to maintain our discipline, it should remain clean.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jay Mehta from Alios Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Jay, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
So I want to know what is the capacity utilization right now?
So capacity wise, we have guided for the peak capacity utilization to be around 135 crores a month. That is the turnover capacity which we have guided at our peak level. Optimally, we being a cyclical business, we are and also a customized production product we are manufacturing. We should be able to optimally utilize around 85 to 90% of our capacities. So this is the idea which I can give present as well.
So the 135 crore number which you gave, at that time the commodity prices were last year were like what 50% lower than current, right? So the commodity prices have risen like exponentially in the last 7-8 months. So won't that number change?
Yeah, it should change. I mean, again, I'm trying to say is that but we can't reassess our capacities now and then. Largely, and it's very, very difficult to kind of predict the commodity prices. So it would have that number might have increased much now. But at the time of last assessment which we did, it was 135 crores.
Okay, so for the greenfield, I believe you did CapEx of roughly 40 odd crore, and for that you will guidance 6x turnover last to last quarter maybe.
Right.
So since then also the commodity prices are low, so by 50%, is it reasonable to assume that?
Again, sir, I have no prediction of the commodity price. It has increased by 50%, it can decrease by 50% by the year end. So I have no clue on the commodity price, what we do. But I was saying what the idea which I can give you is that amongst all the commodity cycles in last 10 years, we have been able to, our average asset turn has been around 6x. That is the guidance which I can give you for future also. Now, for some quarter it can be high, for other quarter it, there is no clue which anybody has on the commodity prices or the movement of commodity prices.
Correct, correct. And sir, there was some R&D you mentioned about on the data center cables you were in discussion with few subcontractors and things like that. So any update on that?
Yeah, that is an ongoing process, and we discussed in the last call also that it's not a one quarter or two quarter phenomena, because data center has a lot of other things to other thi other parameters also, or
evolving.
Yeah, it is a very, very starting phase of the industry, and there is a lot of evolutionary challenges which they are facing. So it will take time, and it's really difficult quarterly guidance or a quarterly update on such kind of trends.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all the investors, and thank you for faith and trust in us. So we look forward to hear from you soon with all my assurances. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you.